Greetings, ASLers. This is going to be an odd episode, something that I usually never ever do. What it will do is it'll kind of give a different viewpoint and maybe some background on what I hope to accomplish with the ASL Recon Games of the Month. The purpose of the Games of the Month is to get the players involved in certain scenarios or situations that are specific and that will need for you to draw from specific areas of the rule book. And some of the examples that we've had before are, shit, I don't even know if we did Strays, I think we did one. That pretty much is use just simple infantry movement. The need to focus on the victory conditions, which is exiting in a very short period of time, which means if you prep fire, you're foregoing your movement options and not utilizing maximal abilities to get the hell off the board. Now, it doesn't mean you can't prep fire, but it just means to that you need to understand principles. Price of impatience. You are subject to gunfire at the star chart in the star vehicle listing on the IFT from the partisans in the village. You are the super uber powerful SS units, but within the convoy rules, you must stick to it until you see some enemies which are hidden and the defender gets to choose when to pop up. So for all intents and purposes, you are extremely vulnerable in that one and therefore must play accordingly. And even though you're 6.58s, 5.48s, 4.4, there's a 4.47 there, and you're only against a couple partisan units, doesn't mean you're going to get your ass kicked. You need to understand how to unload, vulnerabilities of being unload, truck movement, etc., etc. The most recent game of the month, which I only received, I think, one file, dealt with the... I think Rivers to the Reich, and it's a pillbox scenario, a very short four turn pillbox scenario, Semper Paratus. And it may not look pretty, but if you don't know a damn thing about pillboxes, you don't want to be fighting pillboxes going up a hill in the jungle in some giant scenario with 20 squads that you have to capture the pillboxes by turn six. Because you know what's going to happen is you're not going to know how what the hell to do or how to capture them or how long it takes to find them, etc., etc. Semper Paratus eliminates most of the bullshit that you'll have to deal with. They're out, typically they're out in the open. They're not hidden. There's only a few German units that are going to be in the pillboxes. And you have a decent amount of units to attack them with. So... again, the purpose of the game of the month is to bring rule sections from the rule book, which many people don't bother to read, and force you to read that one section. Pillboxes. It's literally two pages. It's page B39 and B40. You honestly have two, practically three columns of rules to read. Problem is because it's ASL, this is not casual reading. Pillboxes, for all intents and purposes, when we cover them here, almost everything about the pillboxes violates a rule or reverses a rule that you know in almost every single phase in the events in the sequence of play. Rally phase, rules change. Prep fire phase, rules change. Defensive fire phase, the rules change. Advanced fire, because just tie in with prep fire. Route phase, the rules change. Advanced phase as well. And close combat, they change drastically the same procedure. So pillboxes essentially flip all the rules on their heads in every single phase of the game. So what we're going to do is go to kind of go over some of the minor things in the pillboxes. You could read some of the other stuff. I'm not going to read you the other things. But in terms of phases, we're going to go over what you have to deal with. And Yeah, I may not cover all the rules in the pillbox sections, but I think I'm just gonna hash down since there's only a couple columns. I'm gonna go over what happens in the rally phase, what happens in the prep fire phase, and certain things that associate with the pillboxes at that level. And then what you do, hopefully, you'll read the rules. And again, this is just a primer. This is nothing big. And other people, J&D Hobbies, ID Jester, I'm sure they've covered pillboxes. Find their stuff. If I could find the links, I'll put them here. If not, I'll just look them up. ID Jester pillboxes, YouTube pillbox, ASL pillboxes, whatever. You're quite intelligent enough, I would like to think, to be able to find some of those videos. So, just again, this is a cursory examination. The responsibility is you as players to understand, to read the rules. If you don't understand the rules, which again, we'll read the rules, we'll play a game, and we'll screw them up. That's just part of it. But when you screw the game, screw the rules up, hopefully your partner has done the same due diligence that you have done and read the rules as well. So when you come across a situation and he says, "Oh, no, you can't do that," and you say, "Oh, bullshit, I can do that," then you simply reference the rule book, because that's what the rule book is, a reference manual. And you access the sections that you need to access, and you find out who's gone awry on their understanding of the rules. It could be either one of you, it could be both of you, it could be something else completely. Don't take the word of, quote, an expert player to tell you what's right and what's wrong. One, ASL has a bazillion examples of it won't cover everything. Even the simplest things have exceptions to them. So it's impossible for your opponent or mentor or whoever to be able to tell you exactly what's going on with that rule, because there's so many other things that are incorporated in this game that there's always exceptions to everything. So the only thing that he can do is kind of what I'm doing to you now, is just giving a cursory examination. And then you remembering that is going to be almost impossible as well. So you're going to forget what's happened. You're going to forget, "Oh, can I subsequent first fire that thing?" If the guy's teaching you defensive fire principles, "Can I subsequent first fire my half squad, because he's not marked with a first fire weapon or first fire counter, but his machine gun is. Why can't I subsequent first fire my half squad?" Well, your opponent may not have told you the specifics of subsequent first fire and their activities and how it impacts certain counters in the game. He just can't take the time to do that. All he can do is give you a very quick summary of the game. Let's just kind of go over a few things with the pillboxes here. You guys should know what the counters look like. There are a variety of them. So let's go with the route phase, or now the rally phase. How does the pillbox differ from everything else in the rally phase? Well, the one thing, first of all, first and foremost, the pillbox creates a different location within the hex that it's in. Let's assume that it's on ground, that's just a straight up open ground hex in the middle of Prokhorovka or whatever the hell it is, and there's 20 hexes of open ground around it. You put it in hex U99, and it's there by its lonesome. It creates a separate location within the hex. If you fire at units in the hex from outside the hex, then you must target one or the other. It's sort of like creating it a vehicle from the infantry target typer. But even then, that's probably a bad example. It is a different location. Targeting the pillbox will not target the units outside. Of course, like say, area target type might be something different. But that's up to you to find out those differences. Rally phase. The pillbox acts as a building in the rally phase. So therefore, you get the bonus of the rally benefits, which is usually, not self-rally or in your rally terrain. So that's a huge plus. Pretty much that's it from the get-go for the rally phase. Now the prep fire phase. How does the prep fire phase affect a pillbox? Well, the pillbox has a covered arc. and you can only fire at targets that lie within that covered arc. And note that the hex that the pillbox in is not part of its covered arc. Therefore, if there's an enemy unit within your within the hex that the pillbox is in, it can't be in the location that the pillbox is in, because that's, again, a separate location within the hex, then you may not fire at those units with most weaponry. There are exceptions, and you can go look into the pillbox section and you could find out which weapons you may fire or may not fire at units within the same hex as the pillbox. There's a covered arc's defense modification. Essentially, that's the middle value. If it's a 1 plus 3 plus 5, stacking is 1 per side. Plus 3 is the covered arc modifier. Plus 5 is the non-covered arc modifier. Again, you have to, the definition of the covered arc even is different for pillboxes versus, say, a defending vehicle or a defending AT gun that has a gun shield. If you fire at an AT gun or a vehicle and it crosses the front two hex sides of that vehicle, it is determined to come through the frontal covered arc of that particular unit. Pillboxes are different than that. You must be within the actual covered arc to take advantage of the decreased covered arc defense modification versus the non-covered arc defense modification. So if you're just outside the covered arc and you fire at it and it crosses the fire right before it enters the hex that the pillbox is in, within that pillbox's normal covered arc, it is the non-covered arc defense modification. So, and most likely, for most attacks, you will have no effect. So understand that. Critical hits are resolved normally versus pillboxes. Again, this is sort of like a prep fire phase. However, the non-covered arc is considered to be zero for critical hit resolution. Note, the non-covered arc TEM. It did not specify the covered arc defense TEM, but the non-covered arc. So therefore, if you critical hit it in the within its covered arc, it will be negative. Which means if it's a plus five, I don't even know if you can crit it at that point. Certain, again, weaponry is doesn't affect it when it's non-covered arc. And pillboxes do not apply hindrances. Pillbox TEM is not cumulative with other positive TEM or negative TEM, with exceptions. I won't go over DCs. You guys could read the DCs. Pretty much that's trying to destroy it and using it in the pillbox. There are some Q&As on the DC. Check it out. It's probably, DC is legit, probably 1/4 of the rules of a pillbox hex. Armor piercing. If you fire armor piercing ammunition versus a pillbox, what it will do is ignore the pillbox defense modifier. So the problem with that is you're going to have AP equivalency. So for all intents and purposes, you're going to be firing with like one firepower or two firepower. And again, critical hit on the AP equivalency will then double that firepower, i.e. 2 to 4, but there's zero. Okay, entering a pillbox is, after you enter the hex that the pillbox is in, you must expend an extra 1 MF to enter the pillbox location itself. It's sort of like entering an entrenchment. As you enter the entrenchment hex, but the entrenchment actually is in a different locations, but you have to expend an additional movement factor to enter the location itself. So, well, not the location, but location in terms of pillboxes, terrain modifier in terms of entrenchments. Route phase. Interesting thing about the route phase. Interdiction, let me just read this right from the 30.41. Interdiction possibilities depend on the movement factors expended in the pillbox hex in exactly the same fashion as is applicable to entrenchments. If you decide you want to route from a pillbox, and again, another rules example where the pillbox negates all other rules of deploying routing. If you're in a pillbox and broken, you never have to route from that location regardless of the proximity of enemy units. If they're standing in your hex, you do not have to route and not eliminated for failure to route. Desperation morale penalties apply normally. So if you exit the pillbox, you exit the pillbox, assume it's not tied to a bunker. You leave the pillbox location to enter the hex that the pillbox is in. And if it's open ground, you can be interdicted normally. Just as if you were leaving a foxhole in that location. So one of the important things about pillboxes is you may not move, route, advance, or withdraw from close combat into a pillbox location if an enemy unit is outside that pillbox, essentially in the same hex but outside the pillbox. So say you're in close combat, or you know, your berserk unit or whatever the case may be, however the movement, routing, advancing, and withdrawing from close combat can apply to your unit, you cannot go into the pillbox if there's an enemy ground unit within that same hex outside the pillbox. That will change a little bit later on in the pillbox rules. Guns cannot leave the pillbox once it's in the location. Big deal. It's sort of like being in a trench. And the same hex, same level units inside and outside a pillbox are adjacent. That's a capital adjacent to a unit inside the pillbox may not. Here's the difference. A unit inside a pillbox. The other example I gave was a unit outside a pillbox. But a unit inside a pillbox may not move, route, withdraw from close combat, which I'm not sure that will ever exist. I think there's only one chance of that will exist. And it's very interesting. Out of the pillbox, if there's an enemy ground unit in the same hex, it can only advance out to the pillbox and must halt in the pillbox hex. So if you're outside the pillbox and there's an enemy unit within your hex, you may not advance into the pillbox. That unit is blocking you from going in there. However, if you're within the pillbox, you may advance outside the pillbox if there's an enemy unit in that pillbox hex. And close combat is resolved in the normal manner between units inside and outside a pillbox. However, close combat is not applicable between a vehicle, passenger, rider, crew, and units in a pillbox. So you could drive your vehicle with a truck in the hex, park it. It's not applicable. Your guys in a truck are 100% safe. Well, in close combat. A unit in pillbox cannot be attacked in CC if there's any friendly ground units, with some exceptions, in the hex outside the pillbox. So it's like a buffer. You have a unit half squad outside, and you got your buddies in the pillbox, and the berserk unit charges. He's in the hex with the pillbox and your unit that is outside the pillbox, and essentially they're both in two separate locations. The units in the pillbox are immune to close combat attack from that unit that's outside. Concealment. This is another game changer. This isn't even in the sequence of play. Concealment. A pillbox location is concealment terrain. However, any concealment or HIP in the pillbox neither halves the firepower nor adds a to-hit dice roll modifier to its contents. The contents of the pillbox cannot be inspected by an opposing player other than to verify the details of an announced attack or successful smoke placement from the pillbox. And this is the important case, which is very, very subtle. Once an attack has been made from within a pillbox, not the pillbox hex, but if you have units that are within the pillbox and they fire, they have an attack or smoke has been placed from the pillbox, all units therein, even if they are subsequently, even if they entered subsequently or did not fire originally, are considered known to all other units. So at that point, that pillbox and the units therein, even if concealed, are considered known to all other units. So therefore, if you have a pillbox with a unit in there and they're concealed, then, and they haven't fired, then units may route in the direction of the pillbox in line of sight. However, if anybody had fired from that pillbox, essentially what that does is make mark that pillbox as a known enemy location, as long as, of course, enemy units are within that location. So at that point, you'd have to mark it with something. You can do it easily on Vazel, that the pillbox is now a potential enemy, and you may not route towards it accordingly. Now, if they didn't fire from it or drop smoke from it, you may route towards it. So again, it screws up the routing phase. It changes the rules of the routing phase. Even though he can't fire upon you, if he's covered arc is facing the opposite direction and he can't fire upon you, if he hasn't fired, you can route towards that location. If he has fired or somebody else has fired within that location within the game, you may not route towards that location because it will be considered a known enemy. Bunkers, not going to bother with bunkers. You guys could read that section. The next thing you need to understand is how to control and eliminate pillboxes. I won't bother with the elimination. You guys can read the elimination. That is paramount in some scenarios. A lot of times in the PTO, elimination of pillboxes is common as well as controlling. I'll simply read the rule for the control of pillboxes. In order to control a pillbox location, i.e. the pillbox, not the hex, a unit must actually enter that location. So if you enter the hex of a pillbox and you kill the units within the pillbox, you do not control the pillbox. You would then have to wait until you could possibly move within the pillbox and enter that location. Now, going back to what I said before, let's say you jump into close combat or however you want to eliminate units within the pillbox, and the enemy then in his turn advances a unit within your hex in the location that is outside the pillbox. Guess what? You in your turn, even if you're not CC, it's just as a unit may not. If there's an enemy ground unit, which means tank. So if he drives a tank into your hex with the pillbox, you cannot advance from that location to go within the pillbox. So you'd have to remove that unit or eliminate it. Enemy ground unit includes armor, not just an enemy good order multi-man counter. There's a very distinct difference. So he can continue to pile units in there, stopping you from getting into that pillbox hex, and thereby denying you control of the pillbox, which is, again, paramount in many scenarios. In Semper Paratus, that is one of the situations we have, is either good order or multi-man counters units in there, or control of a number of pillbox hexes, I believe, either all of them or whatever. You could look it up. It's in the U-series. So control of the pillbox is very, very difficult to do if the enemy has units to jump in there. Again, if he has units in the pillbox and you are about to CC him, and he's, let's say he has two half squads, he could jump one half squad out in the advance phase because he can leave the pillbox to enter your location outside the pillbox, but you may not go within the pillbox. You may not advance into a pillbox location if there's an enemy ground unit outside. So if it's a big pillbox, let's say a 2-5-7, and he's got a bunch of half squads, he can continue to throw units outside, or full squads for that matter, or whoever the hell he has, and keep you from getting into the pillbox. So understand how you have to eliminate. Understand your movement options going within the same within the pillbox. It's very key and paramount. Those, of course, in ASL are split up between a couple sections. They are all in the pillbox section. So read the pillboxes slowly and highlight it. Buy your electronic rule book. Go in there. Highlight the sections. Highlight the one-liners that you'll need to understand. 30.42 is one of them. 30.6 is the other one in terms of movement within a pillbox and going into and leaving a pillbox. And of course, the control is in 30.91. Again, I won't bother elimination. That's a small paragraph. You can decipher that. It's very difficult to eliminate a pillbox, but you can do it probably quite easily with a set demo charge. That's usually not a problem. But again, that takes time. You'd have to then get in the pillbox, set the pillbox. I'm not sure if you have to get in the pillbox. You can, guys could read that. I think you could set it outside the pillbox. Get in the pillbox or set the pillbox, which takes time. You move away from it and then you blow it to hell. So, again, time. If you don't have time, probably not an option. So that's what we have for the pillboxes. Again, page and a half of rules. Almost every single phase regarding a pillbox either completely flips the concept of the other rules within that phase on its head or completely negates some of those rules. And that also includes concealment, right? That's not a concealment is even embodied within a phase. Right of inspection, right? You can gain concealment. Ambush. It's a concealment location. You can gain concealment, which is not bad. Ambush. Look at your ambush chart. +2 if you're a pillbox. So what you probably don't want to do is put your pillbox in a woods hex. Sometimes that might be a good spot to do it. Sometimes it's not. But understand that if they ambush you in a pillbox, it's quite easily if you're in +1 cover. You don't need the cover if you're in a pillbox. That's probably a do or die situation. You're +3 or +5. The woods isn't going to do jack shit. So anyway, taking that information, we're probably going to look at how to potentially set up some bunkers and hopefully get a Semper Paratus game with you from Counterattack, the original YouTube creator that had 3 episodes of a solo play within a number of years ago. He's got a bazillion views on him. And that's the idea, is I want to play with, quote, the original Semper Paratus player. And hopefully we can revisit Semper Paratus and maybe try to incorporate some of the simpler parts of the rules that will apply in that particular scenario. All right, thanks for listening, guys. And check out your pillbox section. There are a number of scenarios that use pillboxes. Many players have no clue as to how to implement the rules. It takes time. It takes practice. It takes a little bit of study. A couple highlights here and there goes a long way. And do what I do. If you got the electronic rule book or your regular rule book, whatever, I highlight the sections and I print the 2 pages out. That's what I have right now. That's what you've been listening to the entire time. I've got the highlighted sections. I've got highlighted rules and so on and so forth. And print the 2 pages out. Leave it right next to you. Why look it up? Why have to whip out your 4,000 page rule book when you've got the rules right there and you can just zip to them right there? There's no looking for it, no flipping pages. You've got it right there next to you, face to face or online, whatever you want to do. I just print them out. I've got a printer. Most people have printers, and use that as a resource. That's something that you need to start doing as an ASL player. If you don't want to do that, most likely you're just kind of playing a casual game, which is fine, but, you're probably going to miss some of the subtleties. Everyone misses the subtleties. It's very simple to do in a game, especially in the middle of combat and your guys rolling really low. So shit's going to hit the fan. You're going to forget a crap load of rules, but about half the time If you actually remember those rules, sometimes they'll come back and save your unit from dying. So that's happened to me. It's happened to my opponent. It happens to everybody. So the more you know, the better your play, and the more likely you're going to come out on top and win that game versus your opponent, or at least thwart him and cause him great consternation. All right, gents, thanks a lot for your time, and go out there, go play some ASL.